What's up, guys? It's your host, Vanchika Kara, and welcome to a new episode of the World Radio Podcast. Today, we are here to discuss an important issue, LGBTQ rights in Canada. This is an issue many of you have been requesting us to do, so here we are. As many of you may already know, the word LGBTQ plus stands for lesbian, gay, transgender, queer, and many other groups. Though these people are more societally accepted and have a month for them, the month of June, Pride Month, it wasn't always this way. As a matter of fact, before the year 1965, being homosexual in Canada was considered a crime and punishable by imprisonment. But this all changed in 1965 when Everett Clippert, a Northwest Territories mechanic, came out and publicly told police he was gay and had had sex with men over a 24-year period. Outraged by his comments and fearing what the public would say, the police sent him to jail and labeled him a dangerous sex offender. This quote was also used by the Supreme Court the same year to defame him. And then we get to 1967, when Justice Minister at that time, Pierre Trudeau, proposed amendments that would relax laws against homosexuality, among other things, in the criminal code. Speaking on this, Pierre Trudeau stated that it wasn't his job to interfere between what happened in a bedroom in private between two adults. He felt like this didn't belong in the criminal code. In 1969, the amendments that he proposed were passed, decriminalizing homosexuality in Canada. And then in 1971, Everett Clippert, alleged sex offender, is released and was sent out to be free and to be homosexual. And then comes another huge achievement. The province of Quebec includes sexual orientation in its human rights code, making it the first province to do so and the first province to pass a gay civil rights law. This makes it legal for gays to be discriminated in housing, public accommodation, and employment. At this time, when being homosexual in Canada is illegal, so is coming to Canada and being an immigrant as well as a homosexual. You won't be let in. But this changes in 1978, when Canada gets a new Immigration Act and homosexuals are removed from the list of inadmissible classes. As all these events are going on, people are starting to get involved. And in 1979, the Canadian Human Rights Commission suggests in its annual report that sexual orientation be added to the Canadian Human Rights Act. When this is suggested, the government starts proposing bills. One of the major ones is Bill C-242, which prohibits discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation. On May 2nd, 1980, this bill gets its first reading in the House of Commons by MP Pat Carney. This bill that would include sexual orientation into the Canadian Human Rights Act does not pass. MP Sivend Robinson tries to propose similar bills in the years 1983, 1985, 1986, 1989, and 1991. One of the bills is to change the word spouse in the Income Tax Act to include or of the same sex. These bills do not pass the readings and are defeated. As these events are happening, the public is like, let's see what happens. But on February 5th, 1981, after more than 300 gay men are arrested after police raid four gay bathhouses in Toronto, the public is outraged. The next day, 3,000 people march up in Toronto and protest. This is considered Canada's Stonewall. Honestly, I'm kind of happy that people at that time were protesting and realizing that they needed to help people part of this community. In October 1985, the discriminatory treatment the homosexuals are dealing with gains notice. The Parliamentary Committee of Equality Rights releases a report called Equality for All. In it, it states that it is shocked by the discriminatory treatment that homosexuals in Canada have to live with, and also discusses the different abuses, for example, verbal, physical, psychological abuses that these people have to go through. It suggests that the Canadian Human Rights Act be changed to make it illegal to discriminate someone based upon their sexual orientation. In March 1986, the government responds with a paper called Towards Equality, in which it states that the government will take whatever measures are necessary to prohibit discrimination against sexual orientation in all areas related to federal jurisdiction. And then in 1988, shocking. You know the guy I told you about, Savend Robinson, who proposed similar bills to Bill C-42 in 1983 and 1985? Yes, him. He goes public about being gay, becoming the first member of parliament to do so. And then comes 1991. This is honestly one of my favorite years in the LGBTQ plus rights evolution, because this year includes an important case which helps us to understand how Alberta included sexual orientation in their Individual Rights Protection Act. This case is called Vriend v. Alberta, and it's about a man named Delwyn Vriend, who was a lab coordinator at King's University College in Edmonton, Alberta. He was a very kind and considerate man, and one day he was called into the headmaster's office and told he was fired. The reason for his firing? The college had found out he was gay. The Alberta Human Rights Commission refused to investigate this case because the Alberta Individual Rights Protection Act did not cover discrimination based upon sexual orientation, but covered everything else: race, gender, income, everything. Vriend takes the government of Alberta to court, and in 1994, the court states that sexual orientation must be added to the act. But the government appeals and wins, and in 1996, the decision is overturned. In November 1997, the case goes to the Supreme Court, and on April 2, 1998, the Supreme Court rules that the exclusion of homosexuals and sexual orientation from the Alberta Individual Rights Protection Act is a violation of the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It also states that the act would be changed even if the government doesn't want to change it. The government of Alberta does not use the notwithstanding clause, even with pressure from religious and conservative groups. In August 1992, during the case of Birch v. Canada, the Ontario Court of Appeal rules that the violation of not including sexual orientation in the Canadian Human Rights Act is discriminatory. Justice Minister Kim Campbell responds to this by stating that the government will do whatever is necessary to add sexual orientation into the Canadian Human Rights Act. In November 1992, this reaches the military, and the federal court lifts the country's ban on homosexuals in the military, allowing transgender, gay, lesbian people to be a part of the armed forces. On December 9th, 1992, as promised, Justice Minister Kim Campbell introduces Bill C-108, which does not pass the first reading. And on June 3rd, 1993, the Senate passes Bill S-15, which does not pass the first reading because the parliament is dissolved for the 1993 federal election. And then a huge game changer, 1996. The federal government passes Bill C-33, which adds sexual orientation into the Canadian Human Rights Act. Oh my God. Wow. And then on March 16th, 2000, Alberta, which refused to use the notwithstanding clause during the time of Delwyn Vriend case, passes Bill 202, which states that the province will use the notwithstanding clause if the court redefines marriage as anything but between a man and a woman. How rude. After a series of events, on February 1st, 2005, the federal government introduces a same-sex marriage bill in the House of Commons. The bill, if passed, would give married same-sex partners legal recognition as other married couples, but it would also give churches, mosques, temples, gurdwaras the right to not perform the ceremonies if it is contrary to their beliefs. On June 28, 2005, Bill C-38, also called Law on Civil Marriage, passes its final reading in the House of Commons, sailing through a 158-133 vote. And then, on July 20th, 2005, Bill C-38, which gives same-sex partners the legal right to marry, receives royal assent and becomes law. So that was a mini timeline for you guys. And I'm pretty proud to say that people came together and fought for these people, and that the government came in and passed bills which would help protect people part of these communities against discrimination and also give them the right to marry. I just wanted to say to all my viewers out there, please treat people part of this community with respect. They are humans, no different than us, and they deserve the respect. And please don't say anything negative, and they deserve to express themselves without fear. A major thing that I wanted to talk about in this podcast is how schools can and are accepting people part of this community. My school, Jean Augustine Secondary School, is pretty accepting, as it has a flag, the Pride Month flag, on its in its main foyer. But something that I think our school could do is to have unisex bathrooms for people who are transgender or people who are lesbian or gay that don't feel comfortable going into a specific bathroom. So these bathrooms should be designed for them. So also I would like to say that something I find very, very annoying that happens in school is that people say things like, oh, you're gay, you're lesbian, and kind of just making fun of their identity. Here in the studio, we have Miss Armstrong, law teacher at Jean Augustine Secondary School. So Miss Armstrong, there are many students in the school who find it fun to call their peers words such as you are gay or this is so gay. What is your reaction to that?
I always react the same way to that, that it's completely inappropriate. I also think that it is students using language that they think is funny and haven't really thought of the consequence or the follow-through of what that means for somebody else. You never know how somebody feels about words like this being used. And although we've come a long, long way with using things like racial slurs and knowing that they're inappropriate, this is the next step, to know that using words that degrade somebody's sexuality or identity in any way is also inappropriate and discriminatory.
So are there any practices that you incorporate in your classroom to make sure that these words are not stated?
Absolutely. One of my first day tasks is always to talk about appropriate language in class. And one of the things that I use is that the phrase, man, that's so gay, is one of my least favorite things to ever be said. And I point it out and be very explicit with what we actually mean, right? So that idea that we mean stupid, and therefore we're equating gay as stupid. And I think by being obvious and stating it out loud to the class, it makes it known that it's really inappropriate to use in our classroom setting. Mm-hmm. I always follow that up with, this is our place of work. You are all here as students, and we need to use work-appropriate language at all times. Mm-hmm. And we're all old enough to be responsible for the words that we use and that come out of our mouths.
So do you think that there's any other way your school can help people part of that community feel more welcome?
Absolutely. I think we all take or should take a responsibility in breaking down the barriers with language that is used and stating when it's inappropriate. So whether it's in a friends group, whether it's within a group of adults or in a classroom, I think we can also do a better job of having symbols within our school to show that everyone's identity is welcomed and appreciated.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say one more thing before I close out today's episode. And that is that a person's beliefs are often determined by what they've learned at home or what they've grown up with, for example, religion, or what they've learned from the outside world. And for me, one of those major factors is religion. And I know that in Islam specifically, if you are lesbian or gay, it is considered a crime. Being homosexual is a crime, but you are only allowed to be transgender. And even transgender Muslims face isolation and rejection from their communities and their families, because people often have this view that whatever you're born with, or like whatever gender you're born, you stay that way. And not to be disrespectful, I think that it's important to respect people. And just because their choice is different than ours, we should accept those differences and think of them not like as a minority or an anomaly, but to think of them as human beings and as equal. And if someone is doing something wrong to them, to take a stand. And this is the message that I would like to give out to my viewers, that please, and my listeners, please respect these people. They're not at all different from us. They are human beings and they don't deserve the problems they're going through. For example, I don't know if you guys heard, but like in London, two lesbian girls were attacked on a bus because they wouldn't kiss each other. And I think it's important to respect their privacy and also to just respect their choices, because you never know what's behind that. So thank you guys for listening in, and also send us your topics for next week, and I'll see you next week. Mwah, mwah. Bye-bye.